For the past decade, Professor Ben Newell from the University of New South Wales has been researching climate change psychology, with his work focusing primarily on how to tackle the preconceived notions that people have which cloud their decision-making in the face of an uncertain future. Suggested that the information we consume about natural disasters such as summer's bushfire emergency influences how psychologically distant people feel about climate change. However, despite the increasing risks of climate change and the concerns that people who are psychologically distant to the problem suggest they might switch off, Professor Newell says that he's still hopeful the situation will improve for the good of the planet and future generations. And joining us now to discuss the matter is the man himself, Professor Ben Newell. Ben, how's it going?
Good, thanks. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for joining the show. First off, how do we define psychological distance and what threat might this pose, specifically, I guess, when it comes to climate change, but just in general as well?
Yeah, so psychological distance is a concept that's been around for a long time in psychology, and I and several other authors have used it to think about how we can understand how people might connect with climate change. So psychological distance often is sort of having four different components. So there's hypothetical distance, which is how certain or uncertain do I think an event is going to be. Temporal distance, which is how far away in time is that event. Geographical distance, which you might think is location. And then social distance, which is it something which is going to affect something like me, or is this only going to be relevant for other people that I perhaps don't identify with? And you can apply that general notion to the way people might conceptualize climate change. So uncertainty, is it really happening? Temporal, maybe it's only going to happen in 2050. Geographical, well, it's happening, but it's not happening to me right here. And the social is, well, maybe it's going to happen, but it's not going to happen to people like me. But increasingly, as we've seen, the reality of the kind of impacts that we're now experiencing is making that ability to psychologically distance oneself much, much harder.
Right. I see. How does something like, well, I guess it would be remiss not to touch on it, the recent bushfires at the start of this year play into this? I suppose the haze was hard to avoid for Sydneysiders and for a lot of people, but what about someone like you've just kind of mentioned there, if you're not geographically so close, say if you're in Paddington, you don't have any family in the country or anything like that, there's no direct threats or implications of the fire. How does then, I guess, something like that affect how people go forward and think about the issue as a general rule?
Well, I think last summer, yeah, when we had all of the smoke haze, it really was something that you couldn't escape. And even if you were not being immediately threatened by it, it certainly brought the events front and center in mind. I think one of the issues that's obviously happened in between is the pandemic has become front and center of all of our concerns, and perhaps those concerns about bushfires have slipped away. But I think you know, with the smoke haze, it was something that was there. But one of the things that we wondered about is whether that sort of gets it. People habituate to it or normalize to it very quickly and start to think, oh, well, this is kind of the new normal, that phrase that we've heard a lot recently. And that, I think, is problematic if it then stops people from realizing that, no, I can make a difference. I can take some actions that are going to actually, you know, influence this progression of climate change.
You've studied the topic for a kind of number of years. How has the idea then of climate change evolved in both perception of people, especially considering we've seen a couple of events in a close timeline lately, and then I guess in practice from people, from the general public, from kind of mitigation measures?
Yeah, I think one of the things that has shifted across time is that there's now far less research, I think, on the, you know, why do people believe in quote unquote climate change? So that sort of focus on the deniers versus the believers, which I don't think is a very productive way of thinking about things. But I think the debate has moved now to, okay, yes, this is something that is happening. Now the question is, what can we do effectively? And so it's become much more of a discussion about how we can engage in, you know, efficient, efficacious actions. What's the sort of moral imperative for us to take action? How can we motivate people to realize that their individual contributions, once put together into a collective and aggregated, can have an influence? And it's sort of thinking about how to frame the issue that way rather than just framing the issue in terms of is it happening or isn't it happening.
So how do you think the best way to communicate the idea of climate change is? I know you just said it's probably not beneficial to look at it in terms of like believers, not believers, but the jury is still out there for some people and it can be met with significant kind of resistance from them. What's the best way, I guess, just to, as an overarching term, communicate the idea and, again, mitigation measures?
I think, you know, you have to realise that different people are coming to the question with very different perspectives. But often one of the ways is to try and have simple kind of explanations of phenomena that if people, in the case of people that say, well, it's not happening or I can't see it or, you know, why, is have some of those simple kind of facts available to you to try and explain how the basic process works and then to sort of overcome that disengagement. But I think, as I say, I think the more important way to communicate things at the moment is to sort of tackle that sense of, okay, how are we to create some sort of optimism? How are we going to actually thrive in this incoming next age of the planet, if you like, rather than feel this sense of disengagement and empowerment? And I think it's to do with promoting leadership, promoting the idea that collective action can create change. As I said in the piece, you know, one of the most hopeful times I've had recently was on the climate strikes last year. I think that they showed, yes, there are a lot of people here who are wanting to see change, wanting to affect this overwhelming kind of behavioural shift that we're going to have to achieve over the next few decades if we're going to try to mitigate.
Is there the hope that, increasing acknowledgement or even if we did see kind of a bit of a disaster in this kind of incoming summer, is there hope that we might see some positive steps quite abruptly as a result?
I would like to think so. I mean, one of the other things that's been discussed a lot in the literature at the moment is the different reactions to the pandemic versus to climate change. So where the pandemic, we did see, you know, a very rapid shift in government response, in people's individual behaviour, in the willingness to listen to expert science advice and follow that advice, whereas in climate change there's been much more sluggish progress and those same experts have not been listened to, the advice has not been followed so much, there hasn't been such clear leadership from government. And I hope that it doesn't take another horrendous bushfire season to precipitate that kind of abrupt change. But I think that, you know, just reminding people, yes, that happened at the beginning of the year. We still need to be acting. We still need to be thinking about it. It can't be taken out of the headlines.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Ben. It was informative chat and hopefully people can start to kind of align with climate change going forward and we might see those positive steps.
Let's hope so.
Cheers.
Thanks
I appreciate
much.
Your time.